Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. Let's start. There are a couple of obvious signs in nature that shows us the faithfulness of our God. The first one I see is the rainbow. After the flood in Genesis 9, God promised Noah that he would not destroy the earth again with flood. He didn't say fire. Right? He will use a fire to destroy the earth after the millennial. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Keep your finger in Psalm 105. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12, please. And God said, "This is the sign of a covenant which I make between you and between me and you. Every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation, I set my rainbow in the cloud, that it shall be for the sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of the flesh. The waters shall not again become a flood to destroy all flesh." I was told that the shape of entire rainbow is a circle, perfect circle. Did you know that? If you get on the plane, if you see the rainbow here, but you come from this direction, you can see the rainbow, perfect circle. Bless you. And that means it's like a, when I do the wedding ceremony, officiate the wedding ceremony, and I, of course, I hold the wedding ring for bride and groom, and this ring represents never-ending love because it circles around over and over and over. Same concept.
Remember that.
You can hit him now, man.
You have my blessing to whack him upside of his head. And the second one is a rising of the sun. Lamentation 3:22, please. Would you go there? Lamentation 3:22. Lamentation is between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. "Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." In other words, whenever we see the sun, we should remember that, hey, his mercy is now run out. And we can do a lot of bad things, but we'll never be able to say, "I use up all my quota of the mercy, God's mercy." I don't know who wrote this, but I really like it, so I'm going to read it to you. When Jesus said, "I will meet all of your need," he will. When Jesus said, I will guide you through the darkness," he will. When Jesus says, "I will carry your burden on my shoulders," he will. When Jesus says, "I will give you peace in your heart that passes all understanding and guard your heart as long as you depend on me," he will. The main theme of the Psalm 105 is the eternal faithfulness of our God. Eternal faithfulness of our God. Let's stop and pray. Holy Father, again, we desire to learn more about you. And one of your attributes is your faithfulness. Never-ending love and bountiful mercies. Through that, you show us your faithfulness, Father. Father, help us learn more like you and less like ourselves, extending our faithfulness toward others so that the people will see you in us. Teach us and show us. Father, we pray that if there is anyone who is discouraged, if there is anyone who is down and out, you encourage them through your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, 105, please. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deed among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. And seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works, which he has done, his wonders and his judgment of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen one. Stop there, please. All right. Who has an interpretation for me? You guys studied, right? Anybody with an interpretation? Yes, sir.
This poem reducting the call in God, giving thanks, glory, taking glory in his holy name, hearts rejoice. I mean, how to be lifted up awesome God has.
Okay. What does it mean to many? Good.
Well, it's a genuine happiness for the faithfulness. I think, you know, that can get really down inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Manny's saying. I just think they're happy.
What if you are in what if you are in a horrible situation? Can you still praise him?
Yes.
I think
that's tougher.
No matter what we're going through, we know he's always going to be the forsaken.
But you know, when he does something good and you see it, it's easy to praise. But like when he didn't take away MS from Diana, that's a harder one to deal with.
Yes. Yes, Mikey.
I always go back to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
mm-hmm.
they were in the fire, but Jesus was there. And he said, even he doesn't save us. And Daniel was in the lion's den, and the angel shut the lions. Even though you're in trouble, he's there with you, and he's always there. And you just never give up on him. And if he doesn't come through, if your life is taken away, guess where you are? You're within open heaven. So.
You know, this reminds me of, as a child of God. And from salvation, you start singing praise and giving thanks to God for what he's done in your life, and it continues through our entire life.
Good. All good.
Seek and remember. Those words remind you that we're...
No, really?
We're going to need to remember to seek and always go ahead and things are good.
Excellent. Excellent, John. Yes, sir.
Bird, and only somebody who has been over again can testify to the... When this is bad, did that. And now that I'm in the middle of bad, I know, don't know what, but I can remember what you did and look forward.
All right. They're all good. While we seek his holy name, we find that one of the attributes of his is the faithfulness. Mm-hmm. He will never leave us nor forsake us. How many times he said it in the Bible? At least twice, I think there is a three times mentioned. We find the joyful response of the worshipers to the wonderful truth of our God's faithfulness. We can see exuberant hearts of our God's people, and by remembering what the Lord has done for themselves and their forefathers. When you read verse 1 through 6, you can just see the people rejoicing. I said this before, but I will say it again. Happiness is temporary, but joy is a different story. You can have a joy in the midst of the most difficult time you go through because you are depending on Him, while the happiness is depending on the circumstance or condition or whatever, more of the materialistic thing. Am I making sense? I believe that a key point for us to trust our Lord, remembering His faithfulness. Let's face it, folks. We tend to remember bad and difficult time more than good and easy time in the Lord. Isn't that true? We are quick to bring up what the Lord didn't do as we ask Him to, but we often forget how faithful He is day in, day out. Unless the Lord pull out the big miracles, we might think that he's not doing anything for us. How wrong we are. And I know some people, at the beginning of my Christian walk with Christ, I thought about the same thing. How come he did so many miracles in Bible time, Jesus time, and the apostles time, and he's not doing anything now? and I forgot. My salvation itself is a miracle.
It was actually the beginning of our history, our true history.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever else is gone.
Once I came across the web page that showed a super yacht by the super rich people around the world. Some of these ships as big as a Navy cruiser. Have you seen those things? Here's one picture I found. not that one. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't put that thing on. Let me know when you are done. You know, some people glory in their wealth, property, status, even super yacht. But we have a different riches. Here's the super yacht. Look at it. It's a little bit bigger than your fishing boat, right?
Quite a bit.
Especially the Gary Holly.
But mine will outrun it.
Huh? What?
I don't know about that.
I said
that.
Mine will outrun it. No, my fishing
boat. He might run over it, but not outrun it.
My bass boat.
God's people find their greatest glory in the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's mentioned in verse 3. In verse 4, did you notice something missing that the God, when we seek from our God? Do you know what it is? We seek Him, we seek them more often than our Lord, His face, and His righteousness and His name. We have a long list of wants, thus we seek His hands. His hands more than anything from Him. Nothing wrong with requesting His provision for us, but we need to have a right priority in our prayer and life. You guys remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Would you go to there? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Some of you guys are already reciting that portion. Matthew 6, 33. As soon as I say the first word, you guys need to remember. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Right? Matthew 6. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 105. He is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Verse 8. He remembers His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. Verse 12. When they were few in number, indeed very few, and a stranger in it. All right, what do you see here? Who can give me an interpretation?
If God promises something, He delivers.
Let's speak a little louder.
If God promises something, He will deliver.
Good.
Well, basically the same thing, you know. In the Old Testament, He disperses the Jewish people throughout the whole world. And He also said, I will bring my people back into the nation. And He did that back in the nation.
Okay.
He reestablished it.
Okay. In case you don't know, we support one of those organizations. They're helping the immigrant Jew from Russia. When they come with the two suitcases. That's it. They leave everything back in Russia. They don't have a place to go. They don't have a food. And we support them for Zion's sake ministry in Jerusalem, Israel. And they are the one who provide the humanitarian items, and then they also provide the gospel message. Great way to do it. Okay, I see this. Since God's faithfulness to Israel still continues, we can count on His faithfulness to us as well. That's my own interpretation. So when I read this, it reminds me of the Abrahamic covenant between the Lord and Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Would you go there, please? Genesis 12. First book of the New Testament. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country. Where would that be? Which country?
Haran.
Okay. Ur is correct. Yeah. How do you spell Ur?
U-R.
U-H. I think U-H. Either way. All right. Get out of country from your family and from your father's house. Would you put number one there? Before the to a land. To a land that I will show you. Put number two in the verse two. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Number three, make your name great and you shall be a blessing. Number four, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse him, those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Stop there, please. In verse 1 of chapter 12 in Genesis, God told Abraham to get out of the country, your country, from your families, from your father's house, and to a land I will show you. Did he do that right away?
No.
What was he doing? Moseying around.
Yeah,
not fully obeying the Lord. And did he say to take your nephew Lot? Did he do that?
No.
He was half obeying. Remember this, guys. God did not overlook. Abraham had to pay for his disobedience. Remember this, half obedience is equal to full disobedience. Are you with me? He didn't leave his father or his family, nor did he leave the land completely. Verse 2 here, God promised Abraham to bless him and his descendant, all of his descendants. That's a great and marvelous promises. And not on Abraham's goodness, but on the grace of God. God was not going to bless him because Abraham was a good man. And God doesn't bless you and me because we are good. God's blessing comes to us by the virtue of God's grace. Am I making sense? I asked you to mark the four things, put the numbers and the four things in the Abrahamic covenant in here. Let's see what kinds of promise the Lord was giving him to and his descendant. First one, to a land that I will show you. God promised them the land that they could have if they obey him. This is conditional covenant. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Conditional covenant. Yep. If they obey, they can have it. They never got the full allotment because they were disobedient. At the zenith of their power during the reign of King David, they occupied 30,000 square miles when the actual territory was 300,000 square miles. In other words, they only got the 10%. Wouldn't you feel bad if somebody said out of goodness their heart, I'm going to give you $10 million. And you say, I'm good with it, $1 million. And other people will look at you and say, are you nuts? Second thing we find is, I will make you a great nation. God promised to make the great nation from Abraham. There's only one nation in human history that was completely destroyed and the nation literally become non-existent for centuries. Then she came back to life and still existing. That's the nation of Israel. By the way, in case you do not know, what is that place? My mind just went blank. Brain fart. In California, there is Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Silicon Valley is the, when it comes to technology, it's leading the entire world. Do you know which country is leading the technology?
Israel.
After America? Israel. Actually, they surpass a lot of things. It happens in Tel Aviv. If you are going to go to Israel with us in 2022, we will all arrive in Tel Aviv and you will see all these high-rise buildings. It's like as if you feel like you are in the middle of the LA or New York City. Much cleaner though. Much, much cleaner than New York City. By only grace of God and the promise of God, that happens. Third thing that I actually notice is make your name great. There's probably no more honored name in history than the name of Abraham or Abram, previous name, who is honored by Jews, Christians, as well as Muslims. Fourth thing that I mentioned is I will bless those who bless you and I will curse him who curses you. This remains true today. This is not a conditional promise. This is unconditional promise. He made a promise to Israel people, even if they go against God, he will bless those who bless Israel. And the root reason for the decline and the destruction of many empires. Because this covenant, those who are the friends of Israel also get blessed. During the time of Obama administration, especially 2015, 14, 15, and 16, Obama was doing everything he could to destroy Israel. He pretty much disengaged contacting them. And in turn, he contacted Iran. You guys know the billions of dollar cash he literally hand them out to the Iranian. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, our country is going down the drain. With President Trump, he not only acknowledged the Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel, he moved embassy, United States embassy to Jerusalem. And you may say, what's a big deal? You're just moving to another location. It is a big deal. Remember during that time, the media and the Democrat people, liberal people, they said that they were just going nuts. And they said, we're going to isolate ourselves from the Arab allies. And we are going to start the new World War III. What happened? Nothing. Exactly. Nothing. And now, we have two nations who would not fight against Israel among the Arab nations. And the third one will pretty soon join. Do you know which one that be?
Saudi Arabia.
Exactly. That's a big. And when Saudi Arabia join, most likely Kuwait will join. We're going to see all of this next Thursday in video. All right, let's go back to Psalm 105, verse 13. When they went from the one nation to another, from the one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes. He rebuked the kings for their sake, saying that do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophet no harm. Moreover, he called for the famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of the bread. And he sent the man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Verse 18. They hurt his feet with the feathers. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him, the ruler of the people, let him go free. He made him the lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Israel came to Egypt. You might want to put the parenthesis that Israel is Jacob in this case. And Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Verse 25. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servant. Stop. And give me your interpretation, please. What do you see? What does it mean to you? Yes, Victor.
But he also
who turned whose heart? Whose heart?
The Egyptians.
To against who?
Against Israel.
Okay.
So it just shows that God's in control of all of this. He sets them up.
Very good. Who else? Yes, dear.
Like you said there, Joseph was a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became ruler.
Prime minister.
Really,
yeah.
The actual ruler. So we can do the same thing. We're working at a company and saying we can do it because God wants you to be there. Not because you did, because he did.
God is the one who promotes as well as the demotes. God is sovereign, isn't it? Isn't he? Mm-hmm. And his plan shall be fulfilled no matter what. Okay. The day of Joseph in Egypt was the stepping stone for the establishment of the nation of Israel. Jacob's family in the land of Canaan had nothing. They were dying in starvation. But the Lord engineered the whole thing before that ever happened, allowing Joseph to be sold as a slave. And he was at the Mr. Potiphar's home and got the false rape charge and up in the joint. And after that, from that prison, you guys know this, baker and cupbearer of the Pharaoh was there. And he asked them, remember me when you get released. What did the cupbearer do? He had a Green Valley moment. Didn't remember squat. Until Pharaoh had a bad dream. No, actually not bad dream. He just had an awful dream twice, pretty much back to back. And then he said, oh yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
But why did God allow it to happen? During that time, God was molding and shaping him, filling him with the Holy Spirit. God is sovereign, folks. And he rules an entire world and overrules anyone who disobeys him. His will is always accomplished no matter what kinds of obstacle lays ahead. And his plan shall be fulfilled no matter what. Agreed? You don't have to agree. God says so, and so it doesn't matter, I guess. Verse 26. Now we see the God's faithfulness to the Israeli and to the promised land. Verse 26. He sent Joseph, Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them. There's a three words that are pretty much running together. Miracles, wonders, and signs in the Bible. Okay? They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness, made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their water into blood and killed their fish. And their land abounded with the frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there were a swarm of flies and lice in the old territory. He gave them the hail of rain, hailful rain, and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig tree and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke and locusts came, and young locusts without number. They ate up all the vegetation in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn of their land and the first of all their strength. And he also brought them out with the silver and gold. There was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, and for fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for evening, and the fire gave the light in the night. The people asked, and he brought the quail, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. And he opened the rock, and water gushed out, and it rained in the dry place like a river. And for he remembered his holy promise, Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the land of a Gentile, and they inherit the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. Stop and give me an interpretation, please.
God was keeping his promise to deliver Israel.
What does it mean to James?
Actually, God, when we're in trouble and struggle and trials, he's going to be there to deliver us.
So whenever you're going through a difficult time, he's going to bail you out right away.
Well, he's going to help me get through it or strengthen me to get through it.
Okay, good. Who else?
You may have times of trouble before the Lord can make up. Say, okay, you're my mind grace.
Okay. Who else? Who else?
I mean, God will put you through tribulation or technically things around the world could be falling apart, but at the very end, he's going to help you out if you stay faithful. Back in Egypt, they were all around the plates. They could have taken the plates differently. They worried about their lives. But at the very end, God was faithful.
Okay, so what does it mean to John?
Same thing for us. We'll have tribulation in our times, but we stay faithful.
Okay. Mikey?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about this on the way up, the service tonight. I try to get Trump tickets for next Monday. And I tried basically three times, okay? And I was thinking of, you know, every time I try and do something and the Lord's blocking me and I keep persisting trying to get around, if I get where I'm going, I always find myself in trouble, okay? So it's like, okay, three times, you know, three strikes you're out. Stop being worried about it. He doesn't want you to go. So be with the Lord. If he's stopping you, stop, okay? Don't try and get around it. Do what he's telling you to do. It's not your time. Be patient. Be obedient to him.
Good.
Listen to him.
Yes, Jerry.
I kind of what I tell everybody all the time anyway. But...
I'm not Jerry. Richard, I'm sorry. You guys all look alike.
I tell my kids the same thing. God has a plan for us. He had a plan for Israel. You know, yeah, they went through 400 or 500 years of captivity, but they still believed. They born, raised, grew old and died, but they still believe. Their children believe 400 years. He has a plan from here to here. He's going to get you to wherever he wants you. So whatever you go through, good, bad, or otherwise, you're going to wind up where God has a plan for you. He has a plan for you.
Do you apply that concept in your life? Okay, good.
But you know, we can't be fat, dumb, and happy.
Why not?
Well, because... Well, in my case, I can, but, you know, when Israel, when they left Egypt, you know, they kind of forgot about everything. You know, they went the wrong way. And so even though we know God is going to be there, like it said, to help us out, he still expects us to perform, to listen to him and guide our lives. You know, we just don't want to go home and just sit around as well. God's going to rescue us, so why even bother?
There's one verse in the proverb I cannot quote exactly. The lazy person is so lazy he wouldn't even bring the food from the bowl to his mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, I can think of a few people.
Yeah.
And I think we need to just keep our hope in him, because no matter what we're going through, God's going to see us through it. It might not be quite the way we deemed it to be, but it's perfect will. Hope in him. Yes.
The thing that you placed out.
You need to speak up a little louder.
The Psalm 105 and the theme that you identified is the unwavering faithfulness of God. Throughout this whole psalm, there is a thing that I'm seeing that follows that. And because of the remember this and the promises, what I'm hearing people saying around, they're hitting on it, but the short version of it, which I know I don't. Is version, where are you focused? Situation or on God?
Very good. Okay. I'm hold on. Mikey.
I just think about what Richard was saying. You know, how long did the Jews wait to get their nation restored? You know, we want things done yesterday. You know, especially for me and DSOs, yesterday's too late. But, you know, the Jews waited thousands of years for their nation to be reestablished. You know, can we wait 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? You know, there's things I'm still waiting for, but I got to realize, hey, like I said, don't get ahead of God. God will take care of it in his due time. If he doesn't take care of it, guess what? It's not supposed to happen anymore. So just be happy and be joyful. The Lord knows what he's doing. We don't.
When Bill was speaking, he brought up, and as I read back, you see how Moses and Aaron performed these signs and miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And we began to see his power was revealed. It turned away at all. And even as we go back and we go through these verses, we end up seeing how it states that you opened the rock, water gushed out. A provision was there for his. But even then, you get the verse, they might just remind our hearts that he was turned away. We need God.
Excellent point. We're proud of you. Good job. All the promises recorded in the Bible show us that our Lord is faithful. But at the same time, it also records the unfaithfulness of human. We tend to screw up everything. The 10 plagues for the Egyptian war demonstration of the tiny portion of our God's power, as well as the judgment and the condemnation for their God, Egyptians' God. For example, the darkness that fell upon the entire land of Egypt, except the Goshen. What about it? Sun God is a big deal in Egypt. You know that? As much as the sun God is a very important, well, in many nations. Like, isn't it Mexico has a big thing with the sun God? Am I correct?
The Mayans,
yes. And what about the turning Nile River into blood? They worshiped that Nile River because it brought a lot of food to them. And the frogs, lice, locust, and so on. And the firstborn, what's so special about firstborn? During that time, still now, in the East, Far East, such as Japan, Korea, and China, and the Middle East, firstborn is the very important because it shows the strength of the family. And since they were not listening to the Lord, not obedient to the Lord, he said, you want strength? Strength is gone. All the firstborn died. Not only from the Pharaoh's first son to the firstborn, the donkey in the stall, they all died. It was not even a fight. The Lord did whatever he wanted. The problem with the Israelites who left Egypt with Moses was not that they were not eyewitnessing God's miracle enough. Rather, they start to take God's miracle for granted. Think about it. To feed the 2 million people, how much manna the Lord had to bring each day?
Not only manna, but a quail.
True hunter.
And water.
A lot of quail.
And then water. The rock was following them around and providing the water out of nowhere in the middle of the wilderness. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of water in here?
Yeah.
Folks, can I change the slide? Our lapse of faith comes from the failing to understand the purpose and the plan of our God. It is not because our Lord has been inconsistent or the unfaithful or forgetful like us. We have a Green Valley moment often. When I go upstairs, if I remember why I went upstairs, I get happy.
You get on the phone and call.
Huh? What?
So do you get on the phone and call?
What am I doing up there?
Sometimes it's so bad. I remember, so I have to write it down. So I pick up the phone or it was a piece of paper. I'm holding it. Yeah. Or sometimes I write it down. I put it somewhere, and I cannot remember where I put it. You know, our daughter does the same thing. And we tell her, what is your excuse? You're not even near the senior citizen category.
Pastor, you know there's a name for that.
What?
Old fartitis.
I'll let you talk to her about that. You might want to practice ducking. She has a temper. Somehow we think that we think and expect that our Lord should answer our prayer in the exact way we want it, preferably right away. Let's get the cobweb of the stupid theological nonsense from our heart. I know there are some Bible teachers that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Folks, God is not our bellhop. Okay? Just because you prayed, God is not obligated. If He is, He's not our God. He is a slave of mankind. One thing we would notice, you would notice, is that this author, I don't know if it's David or not, some people say it, some people don't. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. The author of this psalm did not write anything about Israel as many failures in this portion. Remember in the book of Exodus we are going to study, I'm sure you guys will remember, they made a golden calf while Moses was up in Mount Sinai. 40 days. They were twiddling some and, okay, we are done. Let's make our own God and go back to the Egypt. It's like a brain people. And then how about the constant complaining? Next year it will be our 20th year anniversary for our church. I get to have a vacation once in a while. I can get away from you guys once in a while. Next year I'm going to be gone for a month. Warning. Really. I'll be gone, disappeared from, yeah, she will be gone. We'll be off the grid. You know, there are time, some people get to me, honest goodness. Why, are you uncomfortable? But, what you do is not even close. There were time, some people tried to remove me from the church, really, honest goodness. And they realized this is not the church that they can vote pastor in, pastor out. So it didn't work for them. Anyway, this poor guy, Moses, had to deal with them 40 years. There was not a vacation for him. There was no downtime for him. From day, all in the morning until the, before he go to sleep. Talk about past his heart. And when God said, okay, I'm done with this, I'm paraphrasing, I'm done with this rebellious people, stiff-necked people. This is my paraphrase. I'm going to burn them all and start the new tribe with you. You know what it said? If you're going to do that, kill me first. And another time God said, I'm not going to go with you guys. I'm going to send the angel. He will lead you to the promised land. And he said, where you go, we go. Where you stop, we stop. He would not have any other way other than God. But in here, we don't see any of that kinds of failure. What about the not trusting God enough that they sent the 12 spies? Remember that? And 10 of them came back with, oh, yeah, land is great. Fruits are amazing. But, and they start add their own editorial. Only two. If you notice all the grown-up generations that left Egypt, they all died. Their bodies scattered all over the wind-blown hill. And kind of reminder for them. Because they've been going around the circles. And I'm sure they came. Haven't we been here like 4 years ago? Yes. Folks, because of the goodness of Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice, atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He does not see our sins. He does not see our sins, but He sees the holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ in us. Remember what I sent out, was it this morning's devotional? Saint? You're a saint? Mm-hmm. You know that? Saint Stephen. It sounds cool, huh? Stephen Gomez. Saint Stephen Gomez. It's not like a Catholic saint. You have to have some sort of, like a three miracles, perform three. First of all, nobody perform miracles. No human perform miracles. Only God. If we can do it, that's not a miracle. But he didn't talk anything about bad things here. The purpose of these psalms was to glorify and magnify the great work of God and not to point out the man's, our own failures, awful failures. It is about the faithfulness of our Lord, not faithless of mankind. Joshua 21, please. Would you go there? Joshua 21. Right after Deuteronomy. Sixth book from the beginning. of the Old Testament. Joshua 21:45. Not a word failed of any good things which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Amen. It's been said, God's people live on promises, not on explanation. All of the promises recorded in the Bible show us that our Lord is faithful no matter what. This should prompt us to be responsible and obedient to Him as His followers. Since we're in Joshua 21, let's go to Joshua 21 verse 15.
24.
I'm sorry, 24. My bad. Joshua 24 verse 15. Somebody's phone is ringing. It's okay. You're buying lunch. And it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or gods of Amorite in whose land you dwell, or as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let that be your motto. One application. God's love does not keep us from the trials, but sees us through them. Remembering God's past faithfulness is a key to our present and future victory. How many of you guys have a prayer journal? Do you have a prayer journal? I highly recommend. Somewhere in the back of the prayer journal, divide in half. Okay? Prayer request one side, prayer answer. Put the date of your prayer request. Leave a blank on this side. Whenever God answers your prayer, write it down, put the date and how He answered. And you may say, for what? For your own remembrance. By doing so, it will remind you that, yes, God has been doing this, and He will do, He will be faithful enough to do other things as well. Am I making sense? Why do we study the God's faithfulness here? It's a key for the future. Let's stand up and pray.